Hi, everyone. Welcome to the FloridaProgressives.com podcast, episode 3 for May 13th, 2014. I'm Mike Itzen. This show delivers news and updates via interviews with activists around the state on the issues that you, the people of Florida, care about. This episode is about healthcare, getting out the vote, and many more topics. As usual, listeners, stick around for the end of the show to hear the list of actions, groups, and resources discussed on the show that can help you affect positive change. Kofi Hunt is a progressive activist organizer based out of Pinellas County that has been working through the Awake the State movement for about 3.5 years. He has worked many jobs in the area, including executive director of Action Florida, a six-week contract as statewide gun violence issue organizer for OFA Florida. He has been a blogger for Matter of Cause. He has worked for the Florida Consumer Action Network. Some of the issues he has been working on is immigration reform, healthcare system, education, poverty. He was also a 2013 Netroots Scholar at the annual event Netroots Nation that's located in San Jose, California. And he is currently the project coordinator for Awake Pinellas and a community organizer with the Florida branch of the Service Employee International Union. Kofi Hunt, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. It sounds a lot when you lay it out like that.
Speaking of a lot, I've been looking at what you've been very busy lately because I noticed a headline from April 2nd, the Sunshine State Clean Energy Coalition, about a rally that you guys had at Duke Energy headquarters. Can you tell me a little bit about that rally?
Well, the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign basically started a coalition called the Sunshine State Clean Energy Coalition to basically call on Duke Energy to close their Crystal River coal fire plants by 2016 and start moving beyond coal towards solar and energy efficiency. And Wade Pinellas, the main group I work with, joined the coalition and helped collect petitions and help mobilize people to the rallies. Basically, I was asked to be a speaker at the rally before last. I talked about civic engagement and the importance of it, not just for rallies, but to consistently stay involved. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's great. And another headline I saw was from April 11th, and the headline read, SEIU and healthcare activists target the coverage gap voters in Republican districts. So that's another event that you were involved in where you were going into certain districts. Can you tell me a little bit about that event?
You know, when you do this kind of work, it's most important to focus in a representative's area. I mean, Will Weatherford, he represents areas out in Wesley Chapel in Pasco County, and I could get people from Pinellas to leverage him, but he wouldn't really be very responsive because he'd be like, well, they're not my constituents, even though he's the Speaker of the House and technically represents all the people of Florida, in my view, along with all the other representatives. But we were specifically in Kathleen Peters' district to get her constituents to become aware that Medicaid expansion, which is something that a lot of people agree with, was not being talked about, even discussed up in Tallahassee. Over a million Floridians would qualify for the program and currently are without health care access. And so we thought it was important that her constituents know. So we knocked on a ton of doors in her district, and we talked to a lot of people, and we brought some of those people out to her office for several rallies to call on her to take a stand. The only real comment she made was that she thinks that there's better ways to help people, and she listed some things about homelessness and like domestic violence, and those are all very important issues as well, but they're not the same issue. You can work on issues like homelessness and domestic violence while accepting the $51 billion that is sitting at the border of Florida waiting for someone to just let it in.
Right. So she was trying to change the subject, basically.
Yeah, she was deflecting. You know, that's unfortunately what a lot of elected officials do when they don't want to talk about something. And that's one of the reasons why activists continue to pressure them, because if we try to have a conversation, it's only a one-sided conversation. But if we have a conversation with 100 voices on our side, they have to have a human response.
Right. So Medicaid expansion, obviously very important for the state of Florida. Many other states have been accepting this. Like you said, it was utterly ignored by the legislature this year. So you've been doing several issue-based campaigns around St. Petersburg and that area. Is that fair to say? I mean, I have also read about how you did some support for candidates themselves. Do you have a preference? Do you like to go out there and talk about an issue more, or is it more like whatever the situation really what it calls for?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a very, very interesting point. As an activist organizer, I'm really challenged with how do I approach campaigns. Do I advocate for issues that the campaigns represent, or do I advocate for the campaigns themselves?
Right.
For my career, I've mostly, when I'm working on a campaign, I'm doing what the campaign wants, which is, you know, advocating specifically for the candidate. But I do think going forward, and I have started to dabble in more building a constituency and a universe around the issues rather than specifically the person, because I think in the long run, that's how you build a movement more, is that you coalesce people around the issue, because after the person's elected, you need that same constituency to drive the issue home in the legislature or whatever governing body the person's elected to.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about field work. Like, you could use the example of one of the issues you just spoke of.
Field work is very exciting. It's really, really where the rubber hits the road. It's where you get to talk to people about things that are affecting them. And unfortunately, most people have no idea about the decisions that are being made on their behalf. They're not ignorant or stupid. They're just going about their daily lives. And frankly, our form of government doesn't lend itself towards people being involved in an easy way. They have to kind of go out of their way and change the normal function of the average American life to be aware of what's going on. The media doesn't tend to talk about what goes on. It's one of the reasons why it's so important, the work of activists, progressive and otherwise, to advocate for our interests, because that's a lot of times the only way that you'll see a story in the papers, if a bunch of activists either motivate a spokesperson who's affected by an issue to go and talk about to the media, or does some sort of action with protests outside of a representative's office, and then you'll see them come out and they'll say, "Why are you here?" We're like, "Because things are going on, and we'll be able to detail the issue." I worked in this capacity, to really push issues and really craft stories, and I'm starting to find really innovative ways to do that. So yeah, it's very exciting going forward.
Well, tell us one or two of the innovative ways without revealing all your secrets.
It's basically like, it's basically understanding the media. I mean, they're not really some big mysterious entity, and they're people and they have their own ideas and thoughts, but they mostly are there to write what's going on. And they'll write from their perspective, but as long as you represent your perspective very well with facts, and not just with facts though, with real experiences, it's very difficult for them to distort that. It's basically incumbent upon activists to become media experts and to understand who are the people in their area that are writing stories, to see who's leans one way or another ideologically. And the best people are the people who are just plain old fair, and just find them and write stories and have a real communication with them. That's basically what I have figured out. I mean, a lot of activists, not to their detriment, it's just the institutional knowledge of Florida. A lot of activists just go out and do a protest every single time they want to say something.
Right.
But a lot of times that's not really necessary. I mean, it's great for 100 cars to see a sign that you're holding saying "Healthcare Now," but it's a lot better for them to see an article in the paper that talks about a person who's struggling because they spent all their life savings, paying for wrist surgery, and now they don't know what they're going to do when they're 55 years old and they're self-employed.
Right.
That affects people a lot more. And that if you set that story up right, the media themselves will contact the representative, and they'll ask the representative directly, like on the record, "I'm the largest paper in your area, and I want to know why you're not voting for this issue." on the first article, the representative might deflect it. The second, they might be frustrated. But on the third, they're going to have to answer. Because in the third, it starts to become what they're being associated with. And they're going to want to be associated with it in either a positive way or a negative way. And once they've taken that stance, then activists have a position to either, you know, let up on and remind them about, or to pressure them more on. And it's about becoming more methodical in that way, not using a cannonball to kill a butterfly, but to be very tactical and strategic in how you approach it.
Okay, well, like I said in the introduction, you are part of Awake Pinellas. The founder of Awake the State, Ray Seaman, was on the previous episode of this podcast. Can you tell us a little bit what it's like to be involved in one of the local Awake networks? What type of work is involved?
It's really exciting, and it's exciting in the way that Awake Pinellas meets every single week. Every Monday we meet, and that's fairly uncommon for a lot of political groups. A lot of political groups, or groups in general, meet like once a month. A lot of the Awake groups throughout the month meet maybe bi-weekly is very intense for them. But Awake Pinellas meets every single week, and it's very exciting in the way that sometimes you forget how exciting and how powerful it is. And then someone comes to your table for the first time and they experience one of your meetings that you go through every single week. So just what you do, and they're blown away. And then you get to really appreciate what you're doing again. And I mean, you know, we've done a lot of work, and the people at our table have learned a lot, and it's really challenged me. I'm not like the president of Awake Pinellas or anything like that. I'm just a member, but I'm a member that's been there from the beginning, and I'm the most active member. And you know, sitting at the table, like it's really challenged me as a leader to help with what I've learned to bring the table up to where I am, because I have to admit, you know, not to flatterize myself, but that I'm not very common, that I can work on this stuff and more stuff at it to a very high degree for a very long time consistently and not be deterred. You know, part of that probably is that I'm single and I don't have kids and whatnot, so I don't have as many responsibilities.
So you're all in.
But yeah, I'm all in, and so it's just incumbent upon me to take what I'm learning and take what I'm gaining and to bring it back to the table and help the people at the table grow with me, because the people I work with are some of the most dedicated people I've met in this state, I think, and they're some of the most dedicated people in the world. You know, I can call them and say, there's a 5 a.m. protest in two cities away, and they're like, where's the location, what time, you know? And that's not common. Unfortunately, it's not.
And yeah, and just speaking personally, some of the activists I've met throughout the state, really surprising once you sit there and you realize, wait, none of these people are getting paid, or at least a lot of them aren't. And the amount of time that they put, number of hours per week, and the passion that they bring, it's really remarkable, like you said. Okay, final question would be about, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier the St. Petersburg elections from last year. When you factor in things like that and the progressive movement overall throughout the whole state of Florida, what issues are really picking up traction right now? Which candidates are you excited about for what offices? How do you see the movement going forward this year and next year?
That's a really, really good question. You know, because there's this constant debate in the movement between people like who are more Democrat-leaning saying, you know, oh, hey, we should be working on elections more, and people that are more like leftist-leaning that say, hey, we should be working on issues more.
Right.
And I think it's somewhere in the middle, and it depends on what's happening and the agenda of the movement. I think that the movement needs to start coming up with long-term strategies that aren't based on election cycles. They're based on what we want to achieve. And sometimes it'll be 5-year strategies, sometimes it'll be 10-year strategies. Mm-hmm. And from that, I think that we will start to find our way. Because if it's about one person or one issue, once those issues or those people are elected, thought process after that has to restart. But it's like, if you did something like, for instance, when the United States decided that they were going to go to the moon, when JFK set that challenge, the United States spent 10 years digging deep into scientific research, invested a lot of their research and development into that. And in the process, they eventually came to the point where they did eventually go to the moon after JFK's death. But in that time, beyond going to the moon, they created a lot of different science and technology that allowed them to go off in other areas and to achieve other things. And if we as a movement create a 10-year vision of where we want to be, we would be able to create a lot of technologies within activism and organizing through our experience over the time that we would be able to then go back and apply towards our work going forward and enrich the movement. Specifically, the candidates, I'm encouraged by a candidate here in Pinellas County. Her name is Judith Ann Schofield McLaughlin. She's a USF, a University of South Florida, St. Petersburg professor of political science. And I'm very interested in her campaign because she's up against State Senator Jeff Brandis, who's actually the only person in the state of Florida in 2013, who voted against Medicaid expansion. And he's my state senator. I think that it's important that he be held to account for that in the election. And right now it's very difficult to do that because not a lot of people are aware, you know, of the issue, let alone of his vote on the issue. But people are aware of the repercussions who lack healthcare access or have family that lack healthcare access. They just don't know that the person represents them, supports that. But beyond that, Judith Ann is someone who I think is someone closer to what a lot of progressives are looking for in terms of her values and her interests do involve people in the community and the community itself. And it seeks the solution towards people's woes in creating a climate where it's more easy for people that are underprivileged to seek an equitable life with their friends and neighbors. I think that we have to seriously look at candidates like that, and we have to look at supporting them, I think, on the good issues they run on. And we have to promote that those issues are important, and we have to promote that when they win on those issues, because we have to really start doing the hard work of defining what progressive means. Because at the end of the day, frankly, a lot of people don't know what progressive means. And so people are able to use it just as some sort of slogan, positively or negatively, just about everybody knows what conservative means. And that should be a blaring issue that should be obvious to pretty much everybody. But it isn't. We focus on the 2 to 4 year election cycle. By seeing the trees, we're not seeing the forest, let alone the entire vista of landscape that we have to play and work and fight and achieve in.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kofi Hunt, for all the work that you do and for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And now resources and calls to action. You can find Kofi on Twitter at Kofi Hunt. He's also on Facebook. Awake Pinellas can be found at facebook.com/awakepinellas, and the Awake the State networks can be found at awakethestate.com/local. One of the strategies Kofi talked about is earned media. Make sure that your local reporters know the stories of those who suffer the most so that your community is aware of the issues, and make your own stories by organizing and attending events like delivering petitions and holding rallies. The Service Employees International Union's work in Florida is at seiufl.org. They are one of the many groups working on the issue of getting Florida lawmakers to accept the federal funds for expanding Medicaid, a critical factor when so many Floridians are drowning in medical bill debt. The Sunshine State Clean Energy Coalition is courtesy of the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. Check out florida.sierraclub.org and sunshinestatecleanenergycoalition.org. Some of the representatives mentioned in this podcast are Kathleen Peters, Will Weatherford, and Jeff Brandis. Links to the terrible things they voted for and the great things that they have voted against are provided in the transcript of this podcast. The candidate facing Brandis is Judith Ann Schofield McLaughlin. Find out more about her campaign at votejudithann.com. I particularly like this passage from her site, quote, "Tallahassee's got it all wrong. Instead of making the middle class's priority, they are handing over billions of our tax dollars to the huge corporations and special interests that are funding their campaigns. We can make Tallahassee work for the middle class, but first we need to send the right voice to represent us to Tallahassee, end quote. Last year, a Democratic mayor of St. Petersburg was elected. I only mentioned it briefly in the interview, but that was a big event in the Pinellas community, and you can read more about that in a Tampa Bay Times article I've linked to in the transcript. FloridaProgressives.com is the home to this podcast. This music is by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Whether the topic is healthcare, the environment, education, taxes, or any number of issues, I'm proud to say my guests are delivering what I believe to be the truth about Florida policies. Check out the transcripts for the first three episodes at FloridaProgressives.com. Episode 4 will be out Friday, May 16th. Look for the podcast on your favorite subscription feeds and podcast providers. Let's amplify these activists. Share widely on social media. I've got a Facebook fan page. Look for the FloridaProgressives.com podcast, and I'll be posting there every time there's a new episode. You can also find me on Twitter at Mike Idson, last name spelled E-I-D-S-O-N, and you can send me an email at michael.c.idson@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.